On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth. And I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul. Pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole. Gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
All right, Friday. Let's do this. Good morning. March the 23rd, and we're so happy that you came back to join us on the Jennifer Campbell Show this morning, 570 News. You can watch us on Rogers Television. I know a lot of you do. So we say good morning and thank you for joining us there. And on 570 News, if you're driving this morning, what a gorgeous day. Maybe depending on which way you're driving, I suppose. Sometimes that sun in your eyes is a bit much. But it's a good day to drive. It's a good day to talk. And we have lots to talk about. First up, just let's do some recaps because we have a lot of those happening. I have some listener letters that I want to get to because we had a busy one this week. But yesterday we had on Kim McCullough, who was she's a mom. Her daughter's name was Hillary McCullough, and she passed away under some pretty sad and tragic circumstances in 2016. So Kim was on the show yesterday, and I know a lot of you were listening and really kind of compelled to send tweets and emails because Kim told her daughter's story with so much grace. And if you want to listen to it again, you can go and access it on our website, 570news.com. It's available for you there, and it is up and running. I do know that we had some issues this week with some podcasts on the website. So but those have been fixed. Producer Polly stayed here all night long. I'm just kidding. but it's fixed now. I'm sure Producer Polly had a hand in it. He's the guy. It's fixed. All of those podcasts from the entire week are up for you on our website, 570news.com. So you can go and give any show a listen if you'd like to from the past week. And maybe you need to get caught up on some of those. But that's up there for you right now. If you want to hear Kim tell Hillary's story, because it is a compelling one. It's really, it's a tough one to listen to as a mom, as a parent, as a woman. There was a lot of desperation. And I know that Kim and her family will never be the same. But Kim wanted, we ran out of time yesterday, and partly because Kim was telling her story in such a beautiful way and in her words and on her own terms. And she's telling it for the first time. So I didn't ever want to kind of stop her from doing that and kind of rush it. So what we didn't get time to do with Kim yesterday was talk about what she would like people to do in her daughter's name. You heard Kim talk about how kind and generous Hillary was during her 20 short years on this earth. And Kim and Tom and Carly, Hillary's family, started their own Pay It Forward movement in memory of Hillary. So their goal is for you to do something amazing. We all know ways to pay it forward, don't we, at this point? You know, buying somebody's coffee or food, giving something to a homeless person, volunteering at a food bank or a women's shelter, shoveling driveways, mowing lawns. This is a list that Kim came up with on her own. So I imagine that she probably saw her daughter doing some of these things. And if you would like, you can actually email to Kim and Tom at simpatico.ca. And you can see them if you're watching on Rogers Cable 20. But Kim will send you some of these cards so that the person who you pay it forward to knows why you're doing it and what your motivation was. And then they ask you to go to memorial page of Hillary on Facebook and post how you paid it forward, which is such a beautiful thing to do, I think. What a nice thing. And I think that the cards are important to Kim and Tom and Carly because it gives the person who is, you know, getting the favor and giving the favor a little kind of context about whose name and whose memory they're doing that in. So again, if you'd like to hear the story that Kim told us yesterday of her daughter Hillary, please go listen to it there. And there's a lot of discussion in there. There's discussion about sexual assault. There's discussion about reporting. There's discussion about why people don't report. There's discussion about alcohol and drug use, coping skills. There's discussion about Canada's mental health care system. There's discussion about all of that. And important conversations we had with Kim. So I just want to thank Kim again yesterday, who came in and so beautifully and gracefully told her daughter's story. I don't know that I would have been able to do that. She just really kept it together. Not that she had to. All of us were here to, you know, give her hugs and love and let her be where she was if she needed to. But she certainly did a wonderful job at delivering that story. And she's doing that just for the first time. So telling that story finally in the media. So thank you to Kim. Okay, so let's move forward here this morning. We are going to talk about parents and their favorite children. Wait a second. Parents aren't supposed to have favorite children. Isn't that the truth? Okay, we're going to talk about that. We'll continue with our spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. And just because it's fun on a Friday and it's nosy and totally, you know, kind of Hollywood fluff. Polly, how do you want to get into crazy prenups? I have some celebrities and they're insane prenups to read to you. Because Harry and Meghan Markle are going to get married in May. There's no prenup. There's no prenup. Can you imagine? I mean, I thought if you married into the royal family, you at least probably had to give back the tiara. You know,
they must be really sure then.
I don't know. I mean, after the whole, you know, situation with Diana, one would think that, you know, there would be a prenup. But anyway, maybe the royal family just intends on being generous whenever a marriage breaks up. Okay, we have, and I want to know how people feel about prenups. Like in any situation, are you cool with a prenup? Do you have it? I want to talk to somebody who has a prenup. Oh, you fancy. If you have a prenup, I don't have anything. Like when I got married, I had 6 spoons and a car without a muffler. So there really wasn't any point.
Yeah, I'm worth nothing. There's nothing to take. Sure, right, sign Polly? It. I don't care.
You can't get blood from a stone, baby. Yeah. I mean, now maybe I would. No, I wouldn't. I still have nothing. I mean, I have a mortgage. That's what I have. So would you sign a prenup? Do you have a prenup? How do you feel about the whole concept? You can email me your thoughts, jennifer@570news.com, and then coming up, we'll get to those at 9:45 as we kind of get our fun segment underway. Okay, what an interesting new service that can help make sure you're okay after an online date. This is a service in response to the ongoing Bruce MacArthur investigation, say the creators. And joining us this morning is one of the creators of this. Is it an app? We'll find out. Haran Vijayathan joins us this morning on the phone to discuss. Hello. Did I say your name correctly?
Yeah, no, it's Haran Vijayathan. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so sorry. I did not say it even in one way correctly.
No problem.
Okay, well, I will do my best again, Haran. And thanks so much for coming on with us this morning. Because when producer James said to me, you know, what do you think about this? I mean, half of me is like, gosh, this is horrible that this is where we're at, where we need it. And the other half is like, thank goodness we have something like this now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those tips that we tell everybody, you know, young people, older folks, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, and just tell somebody where you're going, what you're doing. But for most people, they don't have that friend that they can trust, or they are comfortable sharing bits and pieces of information with, whether it's a date for the first time or going to a party of some sort, or, you know, meeting someone online for a one night stand or whatever that looks like. There's shame and guilt and all that stuff that comes with it. So we decided, you know what, we looked at the cases, and initially we designed it so that, you know, for gay, bisexual, queer men. But then we thought, you know what, this could apply to anybody and everybody who's in that situation. So it's a simple email service. It's not an app or nothing to do with Facebook or anything like that, simply because we wouldn't have control over all the information. And currently we as an organization don't have the resources to design and develop an app and put in all the protocols to make sure people's information is safe. So right now, with the way we collect information, an email is easier, and we have the necessary protocols and we have the staff resources to do that.
Wow. Okay, so that's how it works. The user sends the email to the service, and that has their name and their contact info, and then anything else they want to tell you. And then if they don't confirm that their safety, that everything is fine within 72 hours, you are then relaying that information to the police, possibly getting a missing persons investigation underway.
Yeah, essentially. So basically all we need is your name and your contact information and the place that you're going and potentially who you're meeting and whatever you're comfortable sharing. But we would need any information that we can actually find you if you don't show up back home safely. And you would just email safe@asaap.ca with all that information. And if you email us back and let us know that you're okay, we won't do anything with it. We'll just file that email away and keep it for 5 years, because that's what we have to do with any personal information that we get. And then if you don't email us, then we'll try contacting you within 24 hours, and we'll try several times. And only if you don't respond to us after several attempts will we go within 72 hours to the police and say, hey, you know what, this is a situation. Someone emailed us and they're not responding to us. This is the information we have. What are our next steps? And so we have that relationship built with Danielle Butner, who is the LGBT liaison officer at Toronto Police Services. And so they're there to help us guide. And that was really important, that we develop that relationship so we can expedite the process and follow due process to ensure that people are found and returned to their homes and communities safely.
Haran, you're the executive director of the Alliance for South Asian AIDS Prevention and the SAFE program. Tell me about why it's particularly useful for people from marginalized communities. When I read the article, it occurred to me, there's my privilege right there. It didn't even occur to me that, this is something that different cultures and communities just certainly aren't always comfortable with. There's a lot of secrecy sometimes.
Absolutely, it's not secrecy, but it's just the comfort and the comfort of coming out of the closet, or comfort of doing things that are sort of not culturally appropriate. So, for example, when I was coming out of the closet, I didn't have anyone to tell or talk to. I had friends, but I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm going on a date, because it elicits a lot of questions and possible judgment and all that kind of stuff. And this was back in the 90s. But even when I was working up in York Region here in Toronto, and listening to some of the kids from, like white kids who were saying, I can't talk about dating or anything with my parents or my friends, because there's shame and all that and guilt around that stuff too. So that's why when we designed this program, it was initially for the South Asian community, but we also now are just saying, we really don't care about your race, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity. Just let us know, and we'll follow up and follow through to make sure that you're okay. But, you know, things that we dealt with 20, 30 years ago, we're still dealing with today, because society is so caught up on morals and values that they forget the safety of individuals.
And I would imagine, like this horrible case with Mr. MacArthur, that predatory behavior, predators know that there are certain people who are isolated and perhaps aren't sharing anything about their plans beforehand, and that actually kind of increases that risk for them.
Absolutely. And you know, with any kind of abuse or any kind of violence, people know who their victims are and who they're easy prey. And secrecy is one of those weapons that they use to hold people accountable and hold people quiet. So it's like, if you say anything to anybody, then I'll let out your secret type of situation. And so, you know, that exists in society today, and we need to find different ways to ensure that people can have options in terms of how they want to engage the system and make sure that they're okay.
One more time, if you would, Haran, will you tell us again how people can access the SAFE program?
Yeah, so you just have to email us with the information at SAFE at ASAAP.ca. And for more information, you can just visit our website at ASAP, ASAAP.ca, and just click on the SAFE program tab, and there's a list of frequently asked questions.
I thank you so much for your time. Haran, you give me your last name, please, and I'll repeat it three times.
That's okay, Vijayanathan.
I got it. Thank you so much for your time and your commitment to your community and to keeping people safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Anytime. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye now.
919, what an interesting thing. And yeah, I mean, half of me is just, oh my gosh, that's terrible that we have to have this service. And the other half of me is like happy that it exists. It's a whole new world, you guys. It is time for you to be honest with yourself, Polly. Who do your mom and dad have a favorite child? And if they do you know it? Maybe they're just hiding it from you.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they never said anything. No.
Now, do you think, like, because my mom, who's no longer with us, she definitely, my brother was her favorite for sure. For sure. I could tell. So, you know, I mean, I think she loved us both for sure. And I loved her dearly and deeply. But he was just easier to deal with, I think, is what it was. Do parents have a favorite child? Who is the favorite child? James? I want James to answer, too, because he's one of three. I think James is one of three. And that's where it gets, because you get your oldest, your middle, and your youngest. Everybody knows the middle child is completely unlovable. So, right? I want to know, who is your parents' favorite child? Parents, will you admit that you have a favorite child? We're going to talk about that next on 570 News.
When extreme weather hits, count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center, exclusively on 570 News.
A new study says that 59% of the time, parents are more likely to side with a younger child in an argument, lavish them with more attention, let them have their own way, and spend longer reading with them. No wonder these kids are so screwed up. So clearly, yep, the youngest is the favorite. No surprise, I don't think, to any of us who are the oldest. I'm the oldest. What are you, James?
I'm the middle.
You're the middle.
Yeah, that's why I'm such a crap disturber.
You're just trying to get some attention.
Well, you know, I try.
And Polly, where are you? You're the oldest, Polly? You're two. You have a sister.
That's correct. A younger sister.
Younger sister. And would you say that she was, you know, favored? Could you see it?
No.
No?
No. In fact, my parents went out of their way. They, like Christmas time, for instance, they always tried to make sure that they spent the same amount of money on both kids.
Is that right?
I mean, one of them might have gotten like a bigger, most expensive gift, but the other one was compensated by smaller, like it was about the money amount. They always made sure the money was the same.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. Do I do that? I don't know if I do that. I try to make sure like it looks like all three of them have, you know, the same amount of stuff. But whatever Santa Claus does is up to him. I don't know, whatever, right? It's not my game. So the younger baby being the favorite. I don't know if that's a shock to anybody. But this is where it gets interesting. When it came to grandparents, 40% of grandparents said they preferred their first grandchild over any other. Because that whole experience of having a grandchild must have been so monumental that you have that grandchild and then that's the first one and that's the most exciting time.
So I'm screwed either way. Let's just put it that way. I'm screwed either way.
Yeah, you are. The qualities that endeared the favorite to to the parents say, the parents said that the child who was easy, funny, and affectionate was their favorite. The youngest is easy, funny, and affectionate? Yes. And half the parents in the survey said they know they're awful. They know they're awful. I know I'm awful, but that I have a favorite. Well, a strong third said they actually didn't feel any shame. No shame. Now, do you and your siblings, being one of three, James, do you have this conversation? Like, does your youngest sibling think?
We all know who the favorite was growing up.
Who was the favorite growing up?
My sister.
She's the baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was the worst out of all of us three with behavior. I think I was the best kid, and I always got put to the side because if my sister didn't get something she wanted, she lost her mind. And
right.
Then my parents kind of gave in a little bit. That way they would make her happy. And I just kind of settled.
Kind of placating a little bit.
I think they're trying to make up for it now, though. Is now that right? I'm 25 and on my own, than they did because my sister lives at home still and stuff like that. So I think they're trying to make up for it now.
They're
they have me over every weekend for dinner almost.
Dad
takes me to a bunch of hockey games and he always wants to hang out with me. So I think he's sort of making up for it now.
You think he's motivated by guilt on that?
Not by guilt, just knowing that me and him can be buddies and not just son and father, right? So
I tell the children which one of them is my favorite.
In that, what?
I do. Well, sometimes, but it switches, Polly.
Like, it switches.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they all have time to be my favorite.
Okay.
Depending on who is A, listening, B, lifting up the toilet seat, C, taking the garbage outside.
Cleaning their room. Whoever just cleaned their room, that's my favorite at that moment in time.
Exactly, Polly. So it's like a rotating WWE belt. You know what I'm saying? So everybody has a chance. And so then I'll say to that child in particular, you're my favorite right now. Don't tell the others. And then they always go tell the others. Yeah. And so if we do have any therapists that want to do some sort of barter situation for the ways I've screwed up my kids, I'm sure producer James would. It ain't over yet. They're still little. It's 9:28. We're going to continue with our spotlight on women around Waterloo region and prenups. Yes, no, only if you're rich. I have some interesting emails coming in on that. That's coming up for you, too. We're off to the 570 newsroom next.
With all the technology at our disposal, it's a shame that most of it is wasted on nonsense. Download the 570 News app at 570news.com and stay informed.
Percent of parents admit they have a favorite child. That's what we were talking about. And Sherry tweeted me at Jen Campbell 77. Two N's on Jen. Sherry says, whenever my boys tell me I have a favorite child, I tell them they all annoy me equally. See, Polly, I'm not the only mom screwing up kids. Okay, so we're going to get to the celebrities and their crazy prenups. What is happening with Paul? You know what? I need we need, you know how Bic made those pens for women and everybody lost their minds?
No.
Those pens?
I've never heard this.
I know, it's so stupid. It was a real thing. Bic made like female pens. Like a pen you write with.
Why is that?
Well, exactly.
What's so female about them?
I don't know. I think they were purple. I don't know. They had like a little soft grippy thing on them. It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
Ellen like ripped them to shreds on her show. This was a while back. But if you're watching us on Rogers Cable 20, I just I feel like I've had some good hair days. You know, I've had my hair done, but these headphones aren't helping me. They're not helping me with my hair.
Well, your hair's looked good the last couple of days.
Thank
it's
you.
All curly, and I guess maybe they're getting caught in the headphones because it's kind of poofy.
Well, what I'm saying is it looks better. Like, I have to sell. I'm here to promote my salon on the air, Precision Hair Gallery on Herb Street. But when I put these headphones on, these were designed by a man because men don't care. These are for men. The Bic pens for women, stupid. What we need is headphones for women, you
there
know,
you
that
go.
Don't wreck your hair. Because I've had good hair days, and I feel like I'm not selling it. So I know, well, maybe I need some of those cool ones that people put underneath. You know, like you know how you used to like turn your headphones like upside down.
Yeah,
like that,
or like the ones on the airplane that used to hang down.
Yeah,
they don't make those anymore. But
I need those. That's what I need. Okay. We can be equal, but we can be different people. Speaking of what women need to have the spotlight on them around Waterloo Region. That's what we've been doing for quite some time as we celebrate so many of the nominees and recipients of the Rogers Oktoberfest Women of the Year Awards. So, you know, right now, if you are about to listen to this story and you're thinking, gosh, I know someone who I really want to nominate, the entire nomination process is up for you at womenoftheyear.oktoberfest.ca. It is quite easy and it is just such a phenomenal night. Lots of categories for you to choose from arts and culture to there's a group achievement award. For groups of women that are impacting our community, health and wellness, professional, science, sports and rec. There's a young adult category as well for 14 to 21. And we've talked to so many of these amazing, amazing ladies around Waterloo Region. And we continue that conversation today with Jen Knapp, who is the Woman of the Year recipient in the Entrepreneur category from 2017. Hey, Jen, thanks for coming on with us this morning.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay, so let's, you have had lots of awards over your career. From, you know, one for a young entrepreneur of the year in the 80s. And then you've got some from the Cambridge Chamber of Commerce and from BMO Celebrating Women. But what was it about this one, this Oktoberfest Rogers Women of the Year, one that kind of stood out for you?
Well, this one was very special being as it was celebrating the women in our community. And when I looked at all the categories and the other nominees, everyone was just so deserving of winning, and there's so many great companies in our region run by both, you know, men and women. But seeing the women there that particular night and all their accomplishments, and then to actually be selected in the end was quite an honor. It was very exciting.
So you are co-founder of Knapp Fasteners, Inc., which I know you kind of like tongue-in-cheek, but you kind of like tease about it yourself, you know, the amazing world of fasteners.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. Oh, it's a good one, girl. But it really actually is quite fascinating. This is, you are serving 20 different countries. We're talking about military components and aerospace components, and you've trained with NASA employees. And so tell me about what kind of fasteners you're making and how it leads you into these kind of extraordinary situations.
Sure. Well, maybe I'll just give you a really quick little background.
Yeah.
My husband and I both did business. We're both business grads at Conestoga College. And upon graduation, the question people always ask is, how did you ever get into fasteners and what are fasteners? So upon graduation, I got a job for a local fastener company purchasing fasteners. And Jim got a job for a company in Toronto selling fasteners. So that was kind of how we even found out about this industry.
You guys are just a match made in fasteners.
Fastener heaven, if there is such a place.
Yeah.
But yes, we both quit our jobs from day one, so it truly was a joint effort right from the beginning. So I'm only half of the, you know, I'm getting the accolades here, but I do have to give tribute to my husband as well. So we both quit our jobs, much to the chagrin of our families, and they're like, you're going to make a living selling nuts and bolts. But as you said, it's so much more than nuts and bolts. So we have 60,000 different products here at our warehouse in Cambridge. We're selling to, like you mentioned, I believe it's 20 different countries. And it really is fascinating because everything has a fastener in it that's manufactured. So people don't really think about the components. They think about the finished good. So if you go to have an MRI done or you're using gym equipment or you get in your car, even the desk you're sitting at now, your computer, telephone, everything has fasteners in it. So our customer base is really diverse and actually very exciting. You know, I've got to fly drones. I've got to do so many different things, cameras that are worth $1 million, you know, that have even won Oscars.
Wow.
For some of the images they were able to project. So it's very exciting, and we get to deal with, you know, right from quality engineers to people on the shop floor and all over the world. So it's a very exciting business, actually.
Have you ever had somebody come to you with a request that you thought, oh, gosh, this is a big one, and like something that you really didn't know if you could kind of, you know, put together?
Absolutely. I think that's what being an entrepreneur is all about, in a sense. you're taking risks every day, calculated. I mean, we would never do anything to jeopardize our clients. But we have a very skilled workforce here as well, with lots of experience who take their job very seriously and are very passionate about it. And I think that's what kind of differentiates us from the other fastener companies. Aside from special certifications we have to service aerospace, we've had fasteners go up in cockpits of planes, scanners at the airports, even satellites orbiting in outer space. So we do have to have certifications, or there could be big problems, roller coasters, elevators, that nature of thing.
Yeah, so I mean, you're really holding, you know, part of you're getting people to kind of stay alive in a lot of situations.
Yeah, part well, if you made the wrong choice on the steel you were supplying or the bolt, you have catastrophic outcome on that. So we employ Laura. She's our full-time quality engineer. And the rest of our sales team, they're often reading blueprints and diagrams. And it's not like sometimes people just think fasteners is walking into the hardware store and you have a little bag of nuts and bolts and walk out. So it's a lot more complex than that. But it's a very interesting business, I'll say.
So aside from running your business with your husband, you're, you know, very immersed in your community and supporting so many community organizations. Tell us a little bit about that work, too.
Well, I feel that's partially, it gives me a platform, the business, to get out there and meet with people. And I think, you know, ultimately, years ago, I thought I'd maybe be a teacher. And then this opportunity presented itself to us. And I think by getting out and being able to, I do a lot of work at the college. I'm on a few advisory boards, and I'm on their board of governors. And that gives me a platform to, I love talking to the students. One of the committees I'm on is for the entrepreneurial students. And just to hear their enthusiasm and their ideas and be able to, like, offer advice and just listen to all their, you know, great ideas that they have. It really makes me feel good to give back. I think you get so much more giving than receiving. And I think just having the business, we've got some great quality people here who likewise are really immersed in the community and are themselves thinking of ways we can do food drives or community events or sponsoring a family. There's so many different ways as a company we can give back as well. And we kind of get everybody involved in that within the business. And, you know, we've been a big supporter of even like the Kitchener Rangers and different sports teams and hiring a lot of local grads from our local colleges and universities. So I just think getting out in the community and doing things. We had one of our girls last night was volunteering with the Cambridge Chamber of Commerce for their Business Excellence Awards. They needed somebody else just to help out, and she was more than happy to do that. And I think it's just getting your name out there in the community, and then people, you know, respond to that.
Jen Knapp is our guest this morning as we continue the spotlight on women around Waterloo Region. She was the recipient in the entrepreneur category in 2017. So, Jennifer, take me into that night. It's an exciting night. It's a beautiful night.
It was a beautiful venue, too, wasn't it?
It certainly was. Lot 42 is just a gorgeous, gorgeous new spot to have events here in Waterloo Region. And so, I mean, it feels really big when you go into that room.
It's
with really possibilities. Cool. And opportunity and just an inspiration too.
Yeah, so that was an exciting night. I went, had some family with me and a few friends, and it was just all these women, and that there was such like a buzz going about the room. A lot of people, it was their first time even in that venue, so just being there for the first time was exciting, and hearing the different stories and what these women have accomplished. And it's just so inspirational. I think it just makes you want to go back and do more and be better, just hearing what everybody else is doing. So when they showed the nominees, I really didn't think I was going to win. I thought, wow, some of these women have really done some wonderful things. And then when I heard my name called, I was a little bit stunned by that, but nonetheless very grateful and excited. And it was really nice to be recognized. You certainly don't get into business or into entrepreneurship for the recognition, because it's a long road and a lot of businesses don't make it. So, you know, you do it out of passion and you have to keep that passion alive. But to actually be recognized then was very nice as well.
Are you like consumed wherever you go, though? Are you just like constantly looking at the different fasteners of the different things?
It's almost like an anybody that works here is pretty much the same, too. If you go to any of our cars or desks, yeah, you'll find a loose bolt or nut or something in your pockets. Or, but yeah, you do. Like, you go to the ACC Center and you look down, you're like, wow, I would have liked to have had the contract for
of
that.
Course, yeah. So being part of that night, being a winner in the event with KW Oktoberfest Rogers Woman of the Year, does it kind of inspire you to, you know, pay that forward and perhaps, you know, kind of keep thinking about women in your life who definitely would qualify for one of these awards?
Yes, and I know so many women that are doing really remarkable things. So I'd really like to thank KW Oktoberfest. I think that's a great platform that they do. And just like letting people know about these women and their businesses. And it's not just business, obviously, well, you know, from being there, Jen, but, you know, it's community volunteers. It's just women that are doing so many different types of things within our community that makes it such a wonderful place to live and work. It definitely has me thinking about who I'm going to nominate for this year. And it's just hard to kind of narrow it down.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever find out who nominated you?
I did. It was a lady here at our office that nominated me.
Knapp Fasteners Incorporated is the global supplier to the aerospace, military, manufacturing, and distributor markets. Since 1987, winner of so many awards, Jen Knapp, Woman of the Year recipient in the Entrepreneur category for 2017, KW Oktoberfest Rogers Women of the Year. Thanks so much for your time, Jen. Enjoy today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and you have a wonderful day yourself.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So again, those nominations are open for you right now. Arts and Culture, Community Service, Entrepreneur, Group Achievement, Health and Wellness, Lifetime Achievement, Professional, Science, Tech, Engineering, and Math. That's the STEM category, Sports and Rec, and Young Adults. So if you have someone in mind when I give you those prompts that comes into your head, then definitely go to that website, womenoftheyear.oktoberfest.ca, and get somebody nominated today. Prenups. Yes. No. Would you? Did you? Somebody call me. I want to talk to somebody who has a prenup. *570-519-570-2545. I don't think I've ever known anybody that has a prenup. Do you have to be rich to have a prenup? I guess you do. So let's talk about prenups. Let's just be a little nosy, too, because Hollywood fluff on a Friday, I'm down with it. There are some interesting little clauses in celebrity prenups. I don't know who got these ones, but who found these out, but I'm glad they did. That's next on 570 News.
Those that share the ice are more than just teammates. They're brothers.
One-timer scores!
The bond is what binds them. The will to win is what drives them. This is where the Kitchener Rangers lay claim. 570 News.
Have I told you today that you guys are the best? Guys are the best. I got an email from Alan because I was complaining about the patriarchy and headphones. I'm just kidding. It was a bit of a joke, but I feel like headphones were designed with a man in mind.
I just thought of something.
Yeah.
You know what you could do?
What could I do?
If you wanted, you could bring a pair of earbuds from home or whatever, because they should fit in the same headphone jack, and that wouldn't mess up your hair. And
yeah, my stylist would not be upset with me.
Yeah, try bringing a pair of earbuds and plug them in and see how you like it.
You know, I see all the cool DJs at the music stations, at our sister stations, you know, on Facebook and stuff. I see them with the earbuds in, and I always wonder if that's okay. Is that okay? Alan, you are helpful. Alan emailed me, jennifer@570news.com. Alan, are you a radio guy? Because he sounds like he knows a lot about headphones here. Because he calls them cans. And that's a radio thing, right?
Yeah, that's a very inside radio term. Put the cans on.
Where are the cans on?
Yeah.
Or is it in the can? Like, did we already tape that? Did we get that on?
That's right. That's in the can. You can go home. Take 18.
And so Alan sounds like a radio guy to me. He says, good morning, Jennifer. Here's a quick explanation of the why and a possible solution. Are you guys ready for the history of headphones here?
Because I am waiting with bated breath on the history of headphones.
Old style cans used pressure to keep the cups and create a seal over your ears. It felt like your head was in a vise, and the pressure often caused headaches with extended wear. Remember that when we were little, wearing, I would listen to records with headphones on. And yes, it would, they would hurt your, I would wear them so long my ears would hurt. The current trend is to use the minimum pressure possible to hold the cups tight and use a strap over the head to manage the weight of the cans. Solutions. There are units that go around the back of the head, but you're back to the high pressure fit. Okay. The best solution I know of is a high quality set of in-ear monitors like those used by onstage musicians. Polly, I'm going to look like Garth Brooks up here. Yes. Do I get like the headset too? No.
The little microphone. Yeah. You could replace that big clunky microphone with that little thing that Garth Brooks has.
Oh my gosh. I like where this is going. Finally going to be a Dixie chick. Ultimate Ears and Westone are a couple of good brands. Okay, they sound expensive. Do you think I can get them to pay for that at work, Polly? I'll just tell them it's affecting my hair.
I have a pair of earbuds. How do you pronounce it? It begins with a K. Calypso or something like that.
Yeah, are they good?
They are awesome.
Is that right?
A little pricey, but yeah. They're the best earbuds I've ever had. Calypso, I think, or something like that.
Calypso.
I think is how you spell it. I'm really butchering the name, but they're excellent.
I'm only going to have to go check for those. And you use those when you're like listening to music on your phone and stuff.
Yeah, okay. For sure, yeah.
Good luck in your search to have both good sound and good hair, says Alan. Love your show. Love your suggestions, Alan. And I love that you actually indulge me on that weirdness, that tangent I went on. So thank you. Okay, Polly, prenups. Yes or no?
I never got one.
Well, I didn't either. And I asked people to call us, *570-519-570-2545. Like, you can lie about your name as per usual. We're fine with that. But who has a prenup? Is it just rich people that have prenups? Maybe we should have got a divorce lawyer on. Maybe we should have got one, you know. No, not a divorce lawyer, because at that point it's too. No, they would know about prenups, wouldn't they?
Oh, absolutely.
They would know.
They would probably know more than anybody.
So, because this is inside celebrity prenups, and I'm not going to lie, you know, I try to be kind and let people live and let live and just do whatever. I clicked on it. I was interested. I got nosy. I'm just a human being. I want to know how the other half lived just as much as you guys do. So I did. I clicked on it. And the first one on the list, well, it got me interested because it was Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman. So now, there's a lot happening in this relationship. So remember, Nicole Kidman was married to Tom Cruise first. And I have a friend in Hollywood who tells me that was all a big farce, that was like a contract marriage, as was his one with Katie Holmes that we're going to get to. I feel like I might get sued by Tom Cruise's people if I don't say allegedly. That was allegedly a contract. It's just a rumor. It's probably malarkey. I mean, maybe Nicole and Tom were head over heels in love, and that's why they got married. I don't know. But let's be honest. Anytime Tom Cruise is in a relationship, it's always a little weird, isn't it? Remember pre-couch jumping Tom Cruise? I liked him. I liked Kokomo. No, Cocktail. I liked Days of Thunder. I liked pre-couch jumping Tom Cruise. And then he jumped the shark onto the couch. Anyway, I digress. So Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban. Nicole Kidman's people insisted she get a prenup. And she and Keith Urban agreed he would earn $640,000 for every year of marriage. She obviously makes more money than he does. But,
dun, dun, dun.
Since he was once addicted to cocaine, the prenup says that if he ever uses any illegal drugs, he gets nothing. So that's one way to stay clean, isn't it? Sure is, because you can burn through a lot of bucks if you're dancing with the white lady, from what I understand. Okay, we have a call. Oh, Dan, I hope you have, tell me you have a prenup. *570. Dan, do you have a prenup?
Yes, I do.
Are you rich?
Yeah, I do. Me and my wife, I just recently married about maybe 4 years ago.
Okay.
Through a bad separation before that, I pretty much lost everything, house, cars, because she was entitled to half of everything and took my pension and took everything. So now it's like, well, prenup was the best way to do it. So if anything happens between me and my wife now, we split 50-50 and we go our separate ways. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But, and then it's in the will that if something happens to the other, then obviously we get whatever, right?
So, okay.
But Yeah.
So, Dan, did you have kids with your first wife?
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah. So
no
that's
kids.
Yeah. And ki-
thank
and
God.
That's a complication for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, and I've been through a divorce, but I don't have any money really. I mean, I have no liquid money, I perhaps is what I should say, but here's what I need to know. Do you need to have a certain, like, do you need to be of a certain, you know, level of income and richness to have a prenup or should everybody do this?
I think everybody should be, you know, equal value. Like, if there's kids involved, then it's a different story for you know, because the kids, you know, that comes first. But for a married couple that are single and there's no kids involved yet, then I think a prenup is good. Just protect, like, if the person's working and they're both equal jobs, then, you know what, your money's your money, my money, and just split the bills. But when things happen, go your own separate ways type thing, and then you kind of walk away with your stuff.
Got it. Yeah.
And not be losing, like, my trucks and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
And the lawyers are very expensive.
Lawyers are the only ones winning. Dan, I want to talk to you all morning and be nosy into your relationships and your marriages. But lucky for you, you're completely out of time. So, but thanks for being so transparent on that. Okay. Farwell is in next. Polly, I suggest you have a prenup with him on this whole relationship, working with him. You have, I mean, it's just cover your ass. You know what I'm saying? Have a good weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. And hey, you know what? I'm going to be at the Odd all weekend for the KW Home Show. If you want to come say hello, we'd love to see you. Enjoy the rest of this Friday.